Happy Friday, everybody. You made it through another work week, and it's time to kick off the weekend a bit early here by talking some Disney, and we have a fun show lined up for you today. We're going to talk about where you should best spend those fast passes. They're gold on your next Disney vacation, so let's have some fun with that today. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. The Magic for Less Travel is a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for their great guest experiences. That they when they work with their guests, they give them an awesome experience from the time they decide, let's look at a trip. Let's don't even think about planning it. Let's just look at some dates through the entire vacation. Even if there's a hurricane on your vacation, let's hope that doesn't happen. The agents are there to help you work through that unexpected nightmare, and they're there for everything in between. So when it comes time to book that next Disney adventure, whether it's with the Disney Cruise Line out to Disneyland or in my favorite place, Walt Disney World, drop by themagicforless.com today. Check out all the great specials, all the awesome booking bonuses. And when you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And you and I are going to have a great time planning that next Disney adventure. Again, check them out today. They're over at themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1230 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Yes, I'm still a robot, still saying it the exact same way. Happy Friday, you. Thanks for downloading the show, streaming the show, and for coming back and kicking off the weekend just a bit early here as we talk some Disney to put a wrap on this awesome work week. So joining me today to talk fast passes and where to hang your hat when it comes to making the best decisions with these golden tickets that Disney has bestowed upon us, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less. Olaf, or happy Friday. Feliz Viernes.
Olaf Friday?
Feliz Viernes. Ricky, what's up?
Hola, Friday. It's the weekend. It's the weekend. I'm doing the podcast dance, which no one else can see.
You know, oh, wait, hang on. I'm going to make a bold prediction right here. Remember when we used to do Karnak? We did that about 5 years ago for new listeners.
Oh,
we did
a car. Yes.
Yeah, they were awesome, but I don't even know what numbers they were in, but we had a bunch of them. We'd start the show off with a Karnak, like Johnny Carson, here's my Karnak.
Yeah, okay.
Mizzou will not lose this weekend.
Are they not playing?
They're not playing. That's right, that's right. So that's the only way I know. It's so sad. It just breaks my heart. But we did this past weekend. We were the seat upgrade winners. Got to go down because we usually sit on the grass on the hill. You know, we're the cheap people. We have the season tickets, but they're the cheap ones where you don't even get a seat. You just got to sit on a patch of grass. So they came over and said, would you like to be the seat upgrade winners? I'm like, heck yeah, give me something besides grass to sit on. So Pam and I got to go over, and we didn't get, like, you know, I thought we were going to get like a luxury box or something, you know, like because at the Cardinals game, they give you like recliners, like you sit in like an easy chair. Nope, not at Mizzou. You get a bleacher, 16 rows up, but it's fine. But here's the kicker. We got $200 American Airlines gift cards. Boom.
Seriously?
Because it's sponsored by it's sponsored by the airport. So, but you know what?
That's awesome.
But here's the deal. You know what's sad? I went because we've already figured it out. Okay, so what's going to happen is now Paige doesn't sit with us on the airplane anyway because there's only three seats in a row on Southwest. So we're going to book her on American. And she's just going to meet us there using the gift cards.
That's fair. That's fine. That's fine.
So, yeah. But American,
she's probably going to enjoy the time by herself anyway. Let's just be honest.
Here's why I love Southwest, and I need to get him as a sponsor because I do love my Southwest.
I know, right?
Airlines.
Oh my gosh. Couldn't that be amazing?
We have heart just like them.
If you're listening, come on.
Oh, I'm saying we have heart just like
the podcast. We're fine.
Exactly. But anyway, I went on American's. For one thing, they don't have any nonstops from St. Louis. I mean, they got those gigantic planes. No nonstops. You kidding me? From St. Louis, we're like a mecca. But anyway, also, they're expensive. Like, I think it's gonna be more expensive to use a $200 gift card than just to buy a Southwest ticket. I don't know. So I'm kind of in a pickle. But anyway, we're glad to be on the scoreboard. I got to almost take out Auburn's punter, number 43. I stepped in front of one of his snaps when he was snapping on the sideline. So, and I take back everything I said about Auburn. Auburn fans, I was fired up on Saturday night when I was tweeting. You know, I get upset. I know I dogged on your band, and I was dogging on your, because they went over the top of our traditions and all that, but no football. I can't even, I'm getting high blood pressure talking about it. So Pam Forrester's here from the Magic for Less Travel. Please save me. I can't talk about Saturday night other than winning $200 and going on the field.
Well, good for y'all. And Hannah, of course, had a master plan that her and Paige were going to split a room over marathon weekend. She thought that Paige was going to pay for half of it because I told Hannah I wouldn't pay for half of it. But I said, you have a job, you can pay for half of it. So she was doing the math. And so she figured out that, yeah, she would think about paying for half of it. So she thought Paige would be in on it. And then Paige let her know that she doesn't have a job right now. And so she is not going to pay for half of it. And so then I heard, Mike, that she might have asked you, and you told her.
Yeah, exactly. She hit me up with a text and like, oh yeah, Hannah said we're staying at Pop Century or something. You know, she's kind of confused. I said that was kind of a joke we were on the podcast talking about. I was like, you are staying at Beach Club. I was like, you will be fine. You are staying in a deluxe hotel.
I'm surprised she didn't try to hit me up, to be perfectly honest. So.
You will be fine. We're not doing two rooms. There's four of us that can fit nicely in a gigantic Beach Club room, and you're in a deluxe hotel right next to where we're running for the dopey. No, you're not staying at Pop Century next time. Next time. Anyway. So, yeah, I'll pop Joe's comment up here on the screen, and I'll just move on for our people that are not watching the video. All right, regarding Auburn. Okay, so let's get to today's topic. We're going to talk fast passes, and like I said at the top of the show, fast passes have changed over the years. They're kind of like the golden ticket. And, you know, from Willy Wonka. But now you got to think, you got to be proactive. And we're going to have kind of a debate today on, you know, is that a good use of a fast pass? Because really, it depends on your goal of the trip. I mean, the thing is, I don't think there's a tried and true that, you know, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train has always been like, oh, I got a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. You know, I've been, Disney bestowed upon me the opportunity to get a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train Fast Pass. There's been other ones in the past, Soarin', Frozen Ever After, stuff like that. But I think it depends on your situation. So, Pam, how do you look at Fast Passes in general? Because really, we're talking about the initial three. Because what happens is, like at the Magic Kingdom, you can roll up, you know, 10 Fast Passes in a day, but you're basically just kind of looking and seeing dynamically what's still available as the day rolls on.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the advice I'm going to give is the advice that probably most people should give. Think about, first of all, what's most important to your family, your traveling party, because that really, I mean, while all these, you know, you can have graphs and statistics and you know, charts and everything else, but if your family really is not interested in those attractions that where the lines are the longest or whatever else, you know, whatever other information they're using to determine which ones to make fast pass, it just doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So use it as a way to make sure that your family is going to experience the attractions that they want to experience the most. And I think for my family, that sometimes differs. Sometimes we have a goal. Sometimes we're like, you know what, we haven't ridden this in a while, so I'm going to go ahead and do this. Or we really need to try this new thing, you know, with the Pandora things, of course. I mean, those are things that we really, really wanted to try. And I'll be trying to score those Pandora ones for quite a while now because I just can't get enough of them because they're just new for me and stuff like that. But I think the thing that makes fast passes important or not important really depends on your traveling party.
Yeah, I agree. So, Ricky, what are your initial thoughts before we get into like specific things and talk about why we think, because I mean, I think we're all going to jump on Flights of Passage, Navi River Journey, Frozen Ever After. I mean, those are just we're going to throw those out because those are the ones that are saving you so much time if you can score them. But I want to talk about other ones that are kind of like, well, why would you, you know, why would this work as a, you know, a top three fast pass that you're booking 60 days out when it's like, oh, that's a head scratcher. So what are your thoughts on this initially before we dive into some specifics?
Well, I mean, as you guys all know, I stay off site most of the time. You know, I only have the 30-day window to make my fast passes. And half the time, I am not making my fast passes even within the 30-day window. So I'm booking them within the week window or less than that. So, you know, my strategy is always really, let's just see what's available. Let's see what I can get. So sometimes I'm lucky, sometimes I'm not. So you're right, though, with I think the basically the four right now that you really can't get especially with my fast pass strategy, because I am booking so late. And even if I did it at the 30-day window, I think I'd have trouble with a lot of these, is, of course, Flight of Passage and Navi River Journey. Although I did see that recently they did seem to open up a few Flight of Passage fast passes. Now, I don't know if there's a reason behind that, whether they had, because they do have four bays, and I think there's four. And I heard that they had been having trouble with the bays, having all of them working all at once, and maybe they've figured out the problem. That's kind of a rumor that I've heard, or, you know, whether they just realized, hey, we can have more throughput with fast pass or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, so that, you know, I've actually been able to score a Flight of Passage fast pass for my trip that I have coming up in October. I know I made that fast pass. I'm surprised at myself, right? But that's only because I heard, hey, there's some availability that's coming on. So that one, Navi River Journey, you've got Frozen Ever After. That's just ridiculously difficult to get. And then you've got Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I mean, if you know, especially if you're in that 30-day window, and just count those out. You're probably not going to get them. And if you get them, it's a very lucky thing that you're getting them. And I would jump on them at that point. And if you're booking it 60 days out, I would book those hot ticket ones for the end of your trip, because less people have the ability to book those fast passes, because it's basically 60 plus 10. So the shorter out you are, you know, the closer you are in your window, the less chance you are of getting those hot ticket fast passes. But, you know, by day 5, 6, 7, or however, you know, you have better chance of getting fast passes for those hot ticket rides.
Yeah, that's the advice. Before we dive into the specific, that's the advice I give my guests, because with the folks who I tend to work with at the Magic for Less, a lot of them are podcast listeners and are huge Disney fans and like that, you know, hands-on of making fast passes, which I get, because, I mean, it extends your trip. It makes it feel real. You're, you know, it's dynamic. You're in there. You're making decisions. It's exciting. I mean, that's why we're Disney fans. And that's the advice I give them. Say you're staying for 8 nights. Don't go sequentially day 1, day 2, day 3.
Right.
You know, if you're looking for Frozen Ever After, jump to day 8. Grab it. You know, I know it's at the end of your trip, but it's give you, worst case, it gives you something to look for the entire trip. And there's less people that can reach it, you know, at that point. And then you work backwards towards the beginning of the trip, because you have, you know, people with 3-day trips can't reach that 8-day trip. You know, 5-day trips can't reach that one yet. And you have that advantage. So you're narrowing the pool. So that's great advice for everybody thinking about fast passes. But what I want to talk about today was, for example, okay, back in the day, you know, you would like a Dumbo fast pass. Like that was a no-brainer. You needed a Dumbo fast pass, but that's something nowadays I would, you know, you may want to use, but the thing is, like, I think a lot of people that do Dumbo are the folks who have the preschool age kids, for the most part, because they want to get the picture with the young kid, and that's a popular spinner ride for that age set, you know, the preschool, the young kids. But nowadays, you know, you could do the standby, and it's very pleasurable because of the interactive playground on the inside. You get a little, it's like waiting for a restaurant, you know, table to come open. Yeah. You get your little pager, and, you know, the kids stay in there. And I've seen it so many times. It's happened to Mallory when she was younger. She wants to stay and play in there beyond the time the buzzer buzzes. So I don't think necessarily Dumbo is a good use of a fast pass in most cases. But in that same area, Barnstormer at points can be a good fast pass, because that line gets long, because a lot of times it's for, you know, it's like your kid's first roller coaster ride. And there's so many, you know, that's true of a lot of people going to Walt Disney World. You know, you want to take the kids that are that age. You want them to ride the roller coaster the first time. Now, God help you, the ride's only 17 seconds long. And thank God, because when I ride that thing, my back would go out at 18 seconds. It's ridiculous, like crammed in there like a pretzel. But also that queue, that line, you're just standing in the sun, man. It's brutal. It's hot. It is way hot back in that corner of the park. Little shade. So, you know, as weird as it sounds, I say don't use Dumbo, and possibly think about Barnstormer if it's a really, like, if you're going to be there in the afternoon in the summer. I mean, because that's just, it's not a fun queue to wait in if you can buzz through there. Because I think there is a fast pass on Barnstormer, if I'm not right. I've seen it, I think. Am I not thinking, is there not a fast pass on Barnstormer? I think there might be. I'm confused. Pam, okay, what do you say?
I haven't done Barnstormer in a long time.
I just know that I've waited in the line for Barnstormer with Mallory a couple times, and it was, like, hot. Like, people were, you know, getting ready to drop. It's, like, dead in the sun, and it doesn't move super fast either. It's a thing you do for your kids, but I'm just saying, you know, that's, you got to think that way, you know, because I want to avoid standing in the sun, And, you know, Dumbo, you're in the shade, so I don't mind waiting in there. It was a pleasurable time to wait. So, Pam, anything, give us some suggestions like that. You know, things obviously off the radar that maybe you want to consider or not consider.
Well, so people who are big Disney fans know this one, but I'm going to say it for those who don't know this. Peter Pan, the line for Peter Pan can be horrible. Seriously, if you're walking through Fantasyland sometime on an afternoon and you look up and the line is way over an hour or 90 minutes or even 2 hours, it's not surprising. It just really is. So consider that. If Peter Pan is something that your family wants to do, that's one that you're probably going to want to get a fast pass for or head there right after it opens. And I think that may be one that's off many people's radars. The thing about it is that it is a dark attraction, but it's so much more than a dark attraction for those of us who have a very nostalgic feel for that. I think it's, you know, it reminds us all very much of the attraction that, of course, Walt worked on in Disneyland, Peter Pan. And I think that it's something that's worth experiencing, but the lines can get extremely long for that one. But then there's other ones in Fantasyland that aren't quite as bad. Things like Mickey's PhilharMagic. I mean, I've been there on some of the busiest days and not had to use a fast pass because when those doors open to let you into the theater, I don't even know how many people go in there. It always seems like just it swallows people up. So that's one that I would not use my fast pass on in Fantasyland.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, because the thing is, you got to kind of look at history and like how things happen. And Peter Pan, the thing that gets me about Peter Pan is like, and I always get it, you know, when I get the chance. But lately I've been going because of where Mallory is and what the way the stuff she likes is that, you know, we typically do Space, Splash, and Big Thunder. We do the Three Mountains lately. And we'll do Seven Dwarves if we get it, but not always. But when I do Peter Pan, I know that I'm saving a lot of time because it's going to be a long, long wait. But the thing is, it's a 3-minute ride. You know, I hate that. I mean, not that, you know, Big Thunder's like, you know, a half hour long. It's probably 4 minutes. But I don't know. It just goes so fast. But it's a classic. You got to do it.
It is. It really is. And I think that people always think, oh, that's a ride that anyone can ride. So why do I need a fast pass for that? You know what I mean? It's not the wait won't be too bad because it's like a kiddie ride, but it's not really a kiddie ride. So
that's
it's
true.
More than that.
All right. So Ricky's going to hop back in here. She was having some issues. So we're going to keep going here. Another thing I would say is, you know, with things like Space Mountain, that one is going to have a steady long line, like all day long. So that one always get the fast pass for. I'm trying to think about Tomorrowland. Another one that if I can avoid this queue, is the Tomorrowland Speedway. Now, not everybody rides this one, but if you have kids, again, kind of that age of Mallory, she's 9. She likes to drive the cars, especially if you have boys. You know, I was always one that I love driving the MG Midgets at Six Flags when I was that age. You know, it's like, you know, but the thing is, man, for one thing, you're getting high on all the gas fumes as you're standing over the track and you see the people crashing
it's
into
true.
Each other coming in. It's
true.
That is a nut house. Like if you can save 30 minutes with a fast pass at the Tomorrowland Speedway, man, that's 30 minutes of life you are saving. And you're probably saving 28,000 brain cells by not having to smoke, you know, breathe the fumes for that long. All right. So Ricky's back. Ricky, give us some other ideas of things to use a fast pass on or not to use a fast pass on.
So I know this is going to be very odd of a choice, but at Toy Story, at Hollywood Studios, I might not use it on Toy Story Mania lately, but I would potentially consider using it on Rock and Roller Coaster. Ever since they opened up the third track of Toy Story Mania, now I have noticed occasionally, and I've had the benefit of this. Sometimes they will close off the regular standby line for Toy Story and only let in fast passes. I've seen this. I took part in this one time. I had a fast pass, so I got to stand in line. But those who were going by the standby line, they were not allowed in line. So I will say that with a caveat is sometimes I think the ride maybe gets a little too inundated with people and. You know, I think there were some tour groups ahead of me and stuff like that. So I'm not sure if that's an all the time thing or if they were just having some issues. But anyway, the reason why I would say choose Rock and Roller Coaster is especially because there are not that many rides in that park. Rock and Roller Coaster right now has a terribly long line. You know, it's just so, so long. Even if you do the single rider line, it's going to be a really long wait for you as well. I mean, I've waited in that single rider line forever at Rock and Roller Coaster and watched as people just passed me by. So you may want to really look at things and decide whether you'd want to make it for Toy Story Mania or whether you'd rather make it for Rock and Roller Coaster. And I know that's a tough choice to make, but with such few attractions at Hollywood Studios, it might be the better bet. So at least I feel like the line moves a little bit faster in Toy Story Mania, so I don't know.
And it's all inside, because Rock and Roller Coaster, the first part's outside, even though it's covered. It's stifling out there. And the thing is, like, and this is what Disney used to do really well. Now it's kind of more, they do it better with the really immersive queues. Like, Peter Pan's queue is way better than it used to be. It used to be brutal.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome now, actually, the standby. But, like, Rock and Roller Coaster, they break you up into chunks. So, like, you don't realize you're waiting that long. Like, you're in that outside chunk for a while. Then you're in that, you know, where you're walking into the studios and they put you kind of behind the doors and you're waiting there for the doors to open. Then you got the, you know, the pre-show where you see the band in the recording studio. Then you're waiting in another line, you know, alongside the roller coasters themselves in the parking garage. Like, I mean, that's right. A good idea, because it doesn't seem like it's one huge, like, marathon. It's more like little chunks, which is good mentally, but you're still waiting a long time. Now, let me ask you this, Ricky, on this one. So here's a question I have, because I don't ride this one very much, because I try it and it makes me sick. Star Tours. And this one's usually available. Is Star Tours generally a good use of a Fast Pass?
I typically do Fast Pass Star Tours. Because it's in the second category of Fast Passes, it's in the second group, I will often Fast Pass Star Tours. And because I don't ride Tower of Terror, I mean, those would be the two that I would fast pass either way. If you're, you know, not me, I would do Tower of Terror and Star Tours as your tier two fast passes, but that's just me. All the other ones are shows, and it seems like you can probably get in the shows relatively easily. So, I say go ahead and fast pass Star Tours.
What do you do, Pam? Do you, cause I know you ride Star Tours. Is that one that, you know, you see it, you grab it, or is that one you're like, maybe I can just, you know, stand by that one?
So I don't ride Star Tours as much as I used to, because it does make me ill. Yeah, but when I can, when I'm feeling up to it, it's like on a day where, like, you have to, it's like as the moment hits me, and we don't fast pass it. Steve and Hannah can't ride it at all. Isn't that horrible? I mean, like, the two of them can't. I'm the only one who sometimes can. And then I scare myself into thinking, well, remember last time I didn't feel so great. But I typically just go ahead and wait in the standby, because I like the standby line for that. There's a lot of, you know, I think really cool things in the standby, and I feel like it goes really fast. So I don't mind waiting for Star Tours. I don't typically fast pass that.
All right, so Vicky's in our chat, and we love Vicky. She's always here with us as we record these shows. And she says they always do standby for Haunted Mansion because they enjoy the queue so much. Now, I'll tell you, I do enjoy the queue, and it is a good queue, but I will get a fast pass for Haunted Mansion probably 75% of the time. Ricky, what do
you say? I will get a fast pass, too. I actually can't stand the queue. So the new queue, I can't stand it. It's awful to me, but to each their own. So I almost always fast pass Haunted Mansion. And like I said, I can get as my fourth rolling fast pass, I can get Haunted Mansion typically pretty easily. So I will fast pass it usually.
And Sherry says, you know, she's down in Florida. She says she never fast passes Star Tours. And I guess it's because she also enjoys the queue as well. So, you know, I think that's the goal, is that Disney wants the queue to be, you know, not so horrible that you're trying to avoid it at all costs. And I think we started to see this the very first time we really saw this in, you know, full glory was Expedition Everest. You know, like people said, if you book a fast pass there, you're missing out on half the experience.
That's
so when,
right.
You know, when people are saying that, that's a good thing. And I've heard that. Now, I've only fast passed Flights of Passage. So, Pam, and you and Ricky have both told me, oh, man, you're missing out on the story by not standing in the 7.5-hour standby line. Forget it. I don't care. I'm not standing in a line that long. But, Pam, I mean, is that a case of, you know, like, even though we say you want the fast pass for Flights of Passage, but is there a reason to stand by it? I mean, because you told me to, but I wasn't going to.
It is. I think that Flights of Passage really does have a very unique queue.
Awesome.
And especially it's so you get to go through the outside queue, which gives you some spectacular views. And everyone kind of goes through that part of the queue. Then you go through in some of the inside cues and you get to go through a bioluminescent forest. You get to see the labs. You get to see, you know, the actual avatar itself there floating in the water. These are all things that you really miss by doing standby. Now, I mean, I don't recommend it to folks right now, especially if you have a 2+ hour wait for it. But
it's a long time.
I know. Soon, I hope it reaches a point. Well, not soon, but in the near future, let's see. It will reach a point, hopefully, where that kind of slows down. But on the same vein, you know, the suggestion that I was going to get is like Pirates of the Caribbean is one of my all-time top attractions at Disney. And we ride it without fail every trip that we go down. But sometimes, oftentimes, I don't get a fast pass for it because I enjoy that queue. For me, that's the original attraction that was like, I like this queue. I like experiencing it. And another great thing about it is that a lot of it is in air conditioning. So that's a good thing too. And you're constantly moving. I feel like those attractions where you're constantly moving, that wait sometimes seems less because you're moving, you're moving.
Correct.
You're in a different room. You're seeing something different. You're experiencing something different. You can hear the songs and the music, and it has something. The theme songs, especially for that attraction, are quintessential Disney. So I'm happy the whole time I'm waiting in line there. While other ones, I'm just, you know, I'm there 10 minutes and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm over this. This is, why am I waiting in this attraction? So we frequently don't fast pass Pirates of the Caribbean just because I do want to experience that queue. So there are some queues that are worth experiencing.
Is the new standard for how enjoyable a queue is if you see somebody pull out the cell phone with the game on their forehead playing that while they're waiting in line, is that like, okay, this is an indication that this is not an enjoyable queue?
Yes. And I've seen that at Rock and Roller Coaster a lot. So
We used it when we were down with Mike's family in Soarin'.
Oh my gosh. And
that's supposed to have an interactive queue. I will say, in all the times I have gone, I have seen that interactive queue working effectively. Maybe on this hand I could count.
Soarin'. <This way. laughs> Is the other one, like, if you can't, I know it's all hard to say because you can only choose. I mean, there are three really good attractions that you have to choose from in the Epcot tiers, you know, the tier one, and you know, and you've got Frozen or After, Soarin', and Test Track, and it's kind of like, oh, Sophie's Choice, which one do I do, you know? And so it's even more difficult when it is only the two, you know, if you can't get Frozen, and it is the two of Test Track versus Soarin', and I just have to say, like, there's something about that Soarin' queue where even when I have the fast pass, it just moves so slow. And I know why it is. It's because, you know, you've got the different theater and, you know, you've got to get through the theater. And then the show that goes ahead of you while you're waiting for the pre-show has to go. And it's just like, oh, but that's why I always fast pass Soarin' over Test Track, because even with the fast pass, it's going to be a long queue. So that's after you use your fast pass. So yeah. I think that it's long. So
I mean, we made the way I look at it is we made the Soarin' queue interactive ourselves, because not only were we playing that game, I think it's called Heads Up.
Sure.
We had the people around us like joining in on the game, and we were selling the app to people. And like, what's that?
Oh yeah, my goodness, that's the best. I love it.
It's true, but if I have my choice, I fast pass Test Track, not Soarin', because the lines seem to be so much less at Soarin' at this point, and
that's
they do move fast. But you're right, the queue. That queue could have been. It's a great story of what could have been, and it just isn't. So,
okay, how about a hot take here on the podcast on a Friday? Let me give you one. The old Test Track queue was less painful than the new Test Track queue with the make your own cars. I know what they were going for. Kids like to mess with computers and create, and it's kind of a STEM type thing as a former teacher, but I'd rather see Test Track dummies getting whacked in the knee with hammers. I know that music was...
That music was brutal.
But I kind of agree, Mike.
Horrible. This is Sophie's Choice, because...
It is. That's true. Which queue is the worst?
I was great when I was outside, and then I got inside, and I was like, oh, crud. It's gonna be this music again and again and again. Please let me into that little mini theater pre-show thing, because get me away from this music. It was horrible. It was horrible. And the music now is kind of inspirational and kind of ethereal. I kind of like the music in the new test track now, but you're right. I don't like the experience itself as much. The one thing I do like about the new test track, though, is that little talk when you get to the movie. And they really kind of, these are people who are very passionate about what they do. And I think that part's worth seeing. But the rest of it,
I don't know, because maybe it's because I'm not a car guy. Like, I know nothing about cars.
Well, I'm not a car person.
But as you're, moving
in the industry,
through,
I'm not a car person either.
But, you know, like, as you move through the queue, like, they show those, like, models of, like, you know, big V8 engine and these kind of engines. Right. Like, that does nothing for me. I know it's a car theme, but it's just to give you that. But anyway. So let me ask you, you mentioned Pirates, and I want to hop in Adventureland next door to Jungle Cruise. And I say this is one. Always use a fast pass for, because you're not missing any of the experience of the queue. You can still hear the music. The music's fun. You get to see some of the gags. The only thing you're missing is that hidden part of the queue that takes you down zigzagging like 158 times down in that one like stable. It's brutal. So Ricky, do you agree? Jungle Cruise fast pass every time. That's a no-brainer.
Yes, I have been through the standby line and it has just crawled. You know, you're just like, can I please? I could see the boat. Oh no!
Okay, please go down
the
there.
Next one. Oh,
I'm almost there. I'm almost there.
Oh no! I have to go into the next room. And it's like four rows deep now. I would absolutely test
that. And I feel like that's one that frequently the standby time is underestimated.
Yes.
I swear I have gotten into that queue, and it has given me a time, and then I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I'm like 15 minutes past that time. That's not right. So, and so often they underestimate the standby. So, yeah, I agree too, except for the Jingle Jungle Cruise, because if you miss the queue, you're missing about 75% of the jingle part of it.
And make sure, now, of course, this has always been in the past, so I don't know, obviously things can change, but when you exit and have the board at the exit where they say what people's, you know, their resolutions are, there is a resolution to overcome fear of passengers, and that is my brother. So that's kind of cool.
That's pretty sweet.
I don't know if that's still going to be there this year. Every year I go and look and go, is it still here? It is. So yeah.
So this has turned more into a show of like how to avoid painful queues than like where to hang your fast pass. It's kind of the same thing, really. I mean, really, that's what
but,
it
I
is.
I mean, the two things go together like peanut butter and jelly too. I mean, if you think about it, so.
So we got to wrap this, but what about like meeting Mickey, you know, or meeting characters? Is that always a good use of a fast pass? I say, especially for Mickey, yes, because you're not sacrificing anything in, you know, most bets. Because what you're doing, you're placing a bet on that the wait time is going to be relatively long. And I would say meeting Mickey Mouse, that's a good use of a fast pass. Now, again, the thing is, you got scarcity. You got three initial fast passes. So where are you going to hang them? I mean, if you're a family like us and you want to do Space Splash and Big Thunder, then you're going to have to sacrifice, but maybe you got to, that's why it's a 2-day Magic Kingdom plan, you know, something like that. So Pam, what do you say to something like that? Character meet and greets.
So I try to do character meet and greets at parks other than the Magic Kingdom. So especially in Epcot, because after I make my first choice in Epcot, I don't know what I'm ever going
to do. Yes, I know.
So
exactly.
I end up picking the character meet and greets there. In fact, so often I'll be like, okay, I made my fast pass choice at Epcot. What do I pick now?
Oh, yeah.
No, never mind. Nothing.
The Seas with Nemo. That's what it is. That's what that is. Or Spaceship Earth.
Right. I'm going to pick Spaceship Earth because it's Spaceship the first Earth thing as I'm going in the park, and then I have the fast pass and I'm good to go. So, yeah.
But the character meet and greet at Epcot, I think, is a great use of one of your fast pass selections, because then you get to go ahead and do that. And I'll even sometimes do it in the Animal Kingdom because you have the opportunity to see Mickey there too. So I can see the Fab Five typically at Epcot, and I can also see Mickey and Minnie at Animal Kingdom. So I tried to do the meet and greets for parks other than the Magic Kingdom, and I'll use them there.
Yeah, but Mickey only talks at the Magic Kingdom. He's got his voice over there. I love that. That is one of the coolest. That is, and you know what? That's one of the most underreported, underrated attractions anywhere on property. I think that it still is just awesome when you, because it, not only is it awesome for me to see, but I love because you get to see like one or two families before you like interact with Mickey. Incredible. Like, I mean, it still blows my mind just to see the kids' eyes light up. And even the adults, you know, that maybe they've come from another, because I was in there with a family from Spain last time. And, you know, Mickey was interacting, doing tricks with them in Spanish. And it was like the coolest thing ever. Like, that is so awesome because that family's getting their moment that they're going to talk about 30 years from now. And I'm getting to watch it firsthand. I don't know. I'm a sucker for Disney, so I love that stuff. All right, so Ricky, close us out because we're going a little long here. So is there any other thing you want to hang a FastPass on that's a good use maybe people aren't thinking of?
That's a good use. Well, like I said, Spaceship Earth, I think that is a good use, especially first thing in the morning because the waits are so long in the morning that I definitely think you should consider getting a FastPass for that. You know, other things that you maybe don't think about getting FastPasses for, but maybe should, I would absolutely say Kilimanjaro Safaris at Disney's Animal Kingdom, especially in the afternoon. I think that that's a good get right there. And, you know, I still have trouble with the whole Rivers of Light thing. I think I would rather, if it was up to me, I don't think I'd do the Fast Pass for Rivers of Light. And I think I would do, if you're going to eat anyway, I would do the dining package instead. If that's something that you really want to do, see as Rivers of Light. I think the dining package is the better choice, especially if you go, I mean, either way, if you go to Tusker House or Tiffin's, you know, I think you're not going to go wrong because both have fantastic meals. But man, I came out ahead at Tiffin's, so I can only speak about how awesome that was. So they lost money on me.
No, they just didn't make as much money on you.
Well, that's true. That's true. Exactly.
Anyway, all right, Pam, close us out. They're going to wrap it up for Friday. Last words on where to put those fast passes.
I do agree with Ricky on the Rivers of Light thing and the package. And the reason I will say is even if it's more than you would spend on a meal, how much more would you pay to have an extra fast pass?
Right.
And look at it that way. And I think that's a way that you can look at a few things in terms of, you know, if you can have a dessert party or and not have, not that you can use the fast passes for the viewing areas anymore, but think about those things when you're considering that. And then I will also say that, you know, at Hollywood Studios, I think that I, you know, we've talked about how we use them at Toy Story, but I think there are also some other attractions there, even with the Great Movie Ride being gone, that are worth looking at, you know, when you do that. But I think, again, I'm just going to go with the whole remember to talk with your family about what's most important to them. And I think that sometimes, especially if you have kids, if you ask them and have a conversation, you may really be surprised at the attractions that they're really looking forward to. And that's always something that you should do. So take that into consideration.
All right. Well, it's Friday, so we're going to talk about this over the weekend here on the Facebook page. So drop by Facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast and give us your advice for your FastPass strategy and maybe a hidden gem that, you know, maybe you don't want to say it because we got quite a few listeners. But hey, you know, let's help each other out. We're a family. We all want to have better Disney vacations. So help out your fellow guests and give us some advice on how to use those FastPasses the best way. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less. So when it comes time for that next Disney adventure, you want to get out there and have some fun. Make those memories with your family. And there's still time to do that here in 2017. Holidays are rapidly approaching. We're over halfway, I think, through the Halloween season already. So Thanksgiving will be here before you know it. Kids will be out of school there for a little bit. And then, of course, immediately after Halloween, it is Christmas down at Walt Disney World, the holiday season with all the great decorations and special events. So drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free no obligation quote. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And we're going to put together a great plan for an awesome vacation here in 2017. Or, you know, hey, you're probably an early bird. You listen to these podcasts all the way through 2018 as well. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Don't forget, we love it when you do your online shopping with our affiliate link. It helps out the show so very much. So thank you to everybody who is doing that. It is helping us pay the bills here at the Be Our Guest Podcast, and I can't thank you enough for that. So when it comes time to online shop, please use BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon, and then it costs you exactly the same. You get your Prime benefits and everything. So again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon for all of your online shopping needs. Don't forget you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got an awesome Facebook group, a great community over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, well, it's time to get out of here and let you get on with your weekend. And thanks so much for checking in. And hey, I know a lot of folks getting ready to make some fast passes this week, so good luck. Hopefully you get everything you're looking for, so let us know how that goes. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Time to stay safe for the weekend. I'm not telling you to get back to work. Forget work. It's Friday.
No, it's Friday. I'm not going to work.
Just get out there and have some fun, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.